Now, on Friday the 14th of March 2025, Jade Moriarty of Wingafuca, Killorglin, admitted dangerous driving causing the death of Patrick Murphy of Upper Tully, Killorglin, on September 3rd, 2023. Mr Murphy, a keen cyclist, was on a Sunday morning cycle on the Cremorne to Killorglin Road. He was wearing a high visibility top. Driving conditions were good and it was a bright and sunny morning. Jade Moriarty and her boyfriend had been partying the previous night and had a dispute. They left the house party separately. At 8:25 a.m. she hopped into a Ford Transit and drove from their house. 250 metres after leaving the house, she struck Patrick Murphy's bike in the rear in the townland of Cremorne Lower, propelling him over a wall and into the front garden of a property. A man who noticed debris on the road 30 minutes after the collision looked over the wall and found Patrick Murphy. The autopsy report found he received fatal injuries as a result of a collision. Miss Moriarty failed to stop at the scene and drove a further 2.5 kilometres before she hit a ditch. She was sentenced to 4 years in prison after she struck the cyclist before driving on for 2.5 kilometres and crashed into that ditch. That was in March of 2025. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail is Patrick's wife and now widow, Jackie Murphy. Jackie, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning.
Morning, Gary.
You have been calling, you've made a call, Jackie. You're obviously dealing with the aftermath of this, you and your family and your extended family, at losing your husband, and you're calling for tougher sentences for people who are drink driving.
Well, it's not just for drink driving, it's for any hit or run. There should be tougher sentences. I think there should be an automatic ban if you actually kill someone on the road. And I mean, in my case, the person that killed my husband was allowed to drive and pass a driving test after killing my husband, which I think is totally wrong. It was put all over social media congratulating her from passing her test. Again, it's just another thing that I suppose knocked us down even more.
Yeah. Take me back to that day, Jackie, when you first got the news. And when what unfolded afterwards in terms of finding out what had happened?
I was out walking the dog. I used to go down to look after my late father because I was a full-time carer. And Pat was late coming home. And knowing Pat, he could have been talking to someone on the road because he'd always stop and talk to people. Everyone knew him. And time was getting on and getting on. And normally I would have left ages beforehand. And if I had, I would have come on the accident. But as I was walking home with the dog, the guard stopped and they asked for a neighbour's house because obviously they'd been told that my house was in front of this particular neighbour's house. And then they asked me my name, and when I told them, they just said to me that there's been your husband's been involved in an accident, and something in me just knew that he hadn't made it. They brought me into the house, sat me down, got me water, spoke to me. Gave me the option of identifying my husband at the scene. I know I wasn't thinking straight at the time because if it had come to identifying him later in the hospital, I had plenty of friends that would have brought me. But the only thing in my head was I wanted to see my husband, so I identified him at the scene. In hindsight, it was something I probably shouldn't have done because it's a memory that will stay with me for the rest of my life because my husband was classed as a crime scene. And I couldn't touch him. I couldn't touch his hand. I couldn't kiss him goodbye. I couldn't hug him. I couldn't do anything.
And when you arrived in that scene, you would have seen, obviously, it was cordoned off. It just must have been added totally to the shock that you were in to see see where he was and where he'd ended up.
Absolutely. I mean, he was covered in a white sheet, and when they pulled it back from his face, he looked like he was asleep. I think that's the thing that got me most. Just to see him laying there on the cold, hard ground, not being able to do anything, not being allowed to do anything in a way because of possible destruction of evidence. It's hard to explain.
Yeah, you know, I totally understand. I totally understand the situation. I mean, the Gardaí and the others were professionals. They were doing their job. As difficult and as heartless as it feels, it was very, very important that you didn't. But to be in that situation where you couldn't just made it all the worse. I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, Jackie, when you from that day then, this is something, first of all, that he did all the time. He cycled for years. He used to go cycling all the time. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, for 21 years, he'd cycle a variation of the same route down around Cremorne and home. It's something he did of a Sunday, mainly if he wasn't cutting the grass. He's a man that couldn't sit still for 5 minutes. Anyone that knew him loved talking to him. He was always very helpful. You know, he was the kind of man that everyone had wished for a husband. He'd do anything for anyone and anything for me. It's hard to explain what the loss feels like, because there is no explaining in it. You have to kind of live through the fact that he's never coming home, the fact that life has changed in so many ways and not for the better.
Yeah, you were 6 weeks away from your 18th wedding anniversary.
Exactly, 6 weeks to the date away from the 18th wedding anniversary, yeah. We'd known each other for 33 years.
Yeah. You met in a blind date when you were 23.
Well, I was led to believe it was a blind date, but it was only after Pat died that I found out that he had asked a friend to set me up with him.
Really?
So, yeah. And it was only afterwards I found that out, and he let me believe all those years it was a blind date.
Yeah. And look, a remarkable man. And like you said, in constant perpetual motion, couldn't sit still. Cycling, cutting the grass, working, meeting people, chatting.
Out walking, yep, absolutely. He was a very fit man.
Mm. And Jackie, do you feel then that you've been robbed of a life, the life you would have had together if this hadn't have happened?
Well, I mean, I thought we had at least another 20, 30 years. There was things that we were planning, you know, renewing our vows and things like that that'll never happen. We lived a fairly simple life. That's the way Pat liked it as well. We knew everyone. Everyone knew us. I don't know. It's hard to describe. You've gone from having a person there every morning to talk to just having a photograph on a mantelpiece that can't talk back. A photograph can't hug you when you're crying. A photograph can't comfort you in any way. Is all that's left is memories at the end of the day, and there's no getting away from that.
And Jackie, when you found out eventually the circumstances of what happened, you went through the difficult situation of the trial, and you found, obviously, that I know there's a lot of anger obviously attached to that, the fact that first of all it happened, secondly that there was drink driving involved, and I imagine, as I know you've said in the past, that feeling that, you know, the driver didn't stop, she carried on, didn't go to Patty's aid.
Yeah, I'll always wonder if she had stopped at the scene, would Pat still be here or not? But, I mean, at the end of the day, she didn't set out to kill him, but she made that choice to get into the van that morning. And in doing so, she literally took out a loaded weapon and she killed my husband.
Is that the key thing about this for you when thinking about it and in making your call, Jackie, that nobody intentionally does this, but as you said there, by making that decision to get into a car in that state, that's what you're opening up in terms of very real possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, she chose to drive, she chose to flee the scene, she chose to keep going, crash again and possibly flee that scene also. And I mean, at the end of the day, a man laid injured and dying in somebody's front yard. And there's no getting away from that. I mean, I'll be forever grateful to the gentleman that passed by and found him. You know, I mean, to the guys that performed CPR, etc., until the ambulance crew arrived. I'll be eternally grateful to them because they did their best for him and they made sure he wasn't alone when he did pass away.
It's very important.
Yeah.
So when it came to sentencing, go on, Jackie.
The fact that he wasn't alone is of some comfort, but I mean, it should never have happened in the first place.
Yeah.
It's an area where there's usually plenty of cyclists out of a Sunday morning. It's a regular route back to Cremorne for a lot of cyclists. And it could have been pure carnage that morning had other cyclists been on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good driving conditions, good cycling conditions, no visibility problems or anything else in relation to that.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, Jackie, I want you to hang on for a few minutes if you would. We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk a bit more about the sentencing element of what you're calling for, and we'll get to that after these. We're on the line talking with Jackie Murphy about the death of her husband in a hit and run in 2023. And Jackie, you were talking about what has happened, about living with the aftermath of all of that. And that's why you're making your call. You feel, obviously, the sentence here was short in terms of what people would maybe perhaps expect for a crime like this. I know there are mitigating circumstances, we talk about that, but you feel that there should be a longer sentence. What sort of a sentence do you think should be handed out for killing somebody on the road, drink driving, hit and run in particular, I suppose, is the other element.
Well, yeah, hit and run causing death should be at least a minimum of 14 to 20 years. I mean, at the end of the day, they're taking a life, and that's the life of a person that's not coming home. I mean, if you look at the statistics for road deaths between 2016 and 2025, over 1,400 people have been killed. Now, not all of them would have been by drunk drivers, but a share of them would have been. And they're people that never got to come home to their loved ones. And it's just crazy to have a headline sentence of saying that, oh, dangerous driving causing death carries up to 10-year sentence. Then you get a headline sentence, and because you plead guilty, you're being rewarded with a third off. I mean, that's just a crazy situation. You know, yeah. To get a third off for pleading guilty, it means you're getting less time because you won't finally own up to it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's hard to understand from your point of view.
It is, and I think also that there should be mandatory testing at the scene or in the hospitals. Mandatory blood tests, because I mean, people are fleeing the scene, they're going away, then some of them are not caught for days, and by the time they're caught, they're sober. You know,
it's over the system, so you can't prove that involvement of intoxicants, whether it's drugs or alcohol, in the system.
Exactly. And I mean, the system is severely broken. I mean, if you look at deaths alone this year, 90 people killed on our roads, it's a staggering number. Again, that's 90 people that are not coming home to either wives and children or husbands or parents or, you know, aunts and uncles. It's a crazy situation that this country is in and the government are allowing to go on because the legislation isn't being changed. I mean, the punishment should actually fit the crime.
Yeah. That should happen and that should be done at the scene and that punishment should be there. In this instance, it was a headline sentence of 7 years was delivered by the judge, but it was reduced to 4 years and 8 months because of mitigating factors, including her early guilty plea, as you mentioned, and he suspended the final 8 months and she's disqualified for driving for 8 years. To that. Do you understand the rationale, Jackie? And I know it's difficult when all of this has been taken from you and Patty's been taken from you, but do you understand the rationale for mitigating factors in these sentences? The fact that there's 3 children involved here and that there was that guilty plea.
But where were the 3 children when she was out drinking all day and night and through to the next morning?
Yeah.
I mean, she weren't concerned about her children then.
Hmm. So you feel minimum 14 to 20 years with the fact that it'll be reduced anyway by a quarter for good behaviour, for remission?
It should not be reduced by a third. I mean, yeah, it was reduced by a third in Pat's case. But when you go to prison, you get 3 months off for every year. So she'll be out after 3 years. So, I mean, it's just a pittance for taking a life. Now, I know no amount of time is going to bring my husband back. No amount of time is going to bring back any person that's been killed on the road. The government referring to them all as statistics, I think, is so wrong because they were all living, breathing people. They're not just statistics. They're people's family. They're people's loved ones. You know, at the end of the day.
There's a story behind every victim.
There is, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Jackie, do you think that, and I know you've met and you talked to a consultant as well who's kind of working on that plea too, making that plea with you, that it needs to be treated more seriously by the courts, by the justice system?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it saves one life in the long run, it's well worth it, because it's one person more that's going to come home at the end of the day.
And do you think it would work as a disincentive? Do you think it would make people think twice that you could be sent to prison for 10 years plus if you take this chance of getting behind a car in that intoxicated state and you end up hitting someone and killing someone?
I don't think any amount of time would serve as a deterrent, because if you want to drink and drive afterwards, you're going to do it. I mean, it's freedom of choice. At the end of the day, a choice is made. That choice was catastrophic for all involved, and there's no coming back from it. I mean, lives have been destroyed.
Yeah.
Along with that, I think the policing side of it now with the Gardaí, they're limited in their resources. I live on a road now where you've got a 60 kilometre per hour speed limit, and the cars that fly up and down past my place, which is a narrow road, is unbelievable. It's an accident yeah. waiting to happen.
So you think, and that's
no
one of the issues,
I mean,
the road traffic policing needs to be beefed up as well. More Gardaí are needed in general anyway, but more of them put the road traffic work to make sure that speed isn't a factor, that people do slow down on those sort of roads.
You need more boots on the ground. I mean, the way it is, they're struggling with what they have. And I mean, if they're not in the barracks, you can't get hold of a guard. You have to go further afield to Tralee or Killarney before you can get a guard, because you don't know what times they're going to be in the barracks. You can be waiting around all day and they could be out. So, I mean, you need someone in the guards barrack all the time, which there isn't. I know they have work to do out on the roads, but I mean, there's no point in having a kind of a speed start in the middle of a town, because it's out on the main roads that all the speed is happening.
Yeah, yeah. So that's part of it. Do you think your response, your plea will be listened to, Jackie? Do you hope it'll be listened to? That legislation may come in, or sentencing guidelines may be changed in this area?
I hope so, but it probably won't be changed in my lifetime. And that's the reality of the fact. I don't think that the government will move to do anything, really. It's just laws are out of date in a lot of areas, not just regards road safety. I think the need to do it isn't there. And until someone in the Dáil actually experiences a loss, I don't think anything's going to change. I mean, we can lobby and lobby until the cows come home, as the saying goes, but will it really make a difference? There might be small tweaks to the law, but small tweaks are not going to save lives at the end of the day.
Yeah. But by telling your story, Jackie, that has to have some sort of an impact. At least you would hope.
Well, I'd hope so. But I'm very pessimistic on that side of things. By nature, I'm optimistic, but I can't see anything really changing in the next number of years. It's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort on the part of a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, Jackie, I want to thank you for telling your story. I know it wasn't easy this morning to come on the radio and talk about it. Would you like your listeners, or the listeners that are listening, people to get in touch with their TDs on this, to start making this call, adding their weight to it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because, I mean, I was always there thinking of these poor people that lost someone. I never once dreamed that one day it would be me. Nobody does. And I mean, it could be anybody's story. At the end of the day, it's a life that's lost, regardless of who they are.
Yeah, and you never really realise how bad it is until it comes to your particular door, and how terrible
it is.
It's
when it knocks on your door, you know what it's like.
Yeah,
and it's something you can't explain to a TD. You have to live it to experience it.
Fully understand. Yeah, Yeah, I take your point on that. Jackie, look, thanks so much for talking to us in the programme and sharing your story, as difficult as it was. And I know you're keeping his memory alive. Indeed, you're living for the both of you now, even in very difficult circumstances. But and you're trying to make changes as well, which is very admirable. So thanks for talking to me on Kerry Today this morning.
Thank you, Gerry.
There you go. That's Jackie Murphy with me on the line there, talking about the aftermath of that hit and run that took her husband, Paddy Murphy, 68 years of age, of Upper Tully, Killorglin, who died at the scene in September 2023. Jade Moriarty of Wingafuca, Killorglin, admitted dangerous driving causing the death on September the 3rd and was sentenced to 4 years in prison in March of last year. If you have a view on what Jackie's had to say, the need for changes in the law, immediate testing at the scene, longer sentences for hit and run, in that area, I'd love to hear your views and what she's had to say and her own thoughts on it. If you want to get in touch with us on the programme and that, get in touch on any of our numbers.